This is Five After the Hour by Les Weinrott. Intrato Expressivo, Introduction with Expression, the original composition of Frank Smith. Andante, Allegretto, Ad Libitum. Tempo and execution under the baton of Cesar Petrillo. The music of Five After the Hour. The play, Murder Has No Tongue.
Just committed the perfect crime. So perfect that you won't believe I did it. Even when I tell you. Even when I show you. Because it's the perfect crime.
Don't you fall back under your stone and leave my life alone.
I got your little note. Your little love letter.
Max, get out of here.
Very sweet it was. Only you should have delivered it yourself. It's a wife's duty to inform her husband in person that she's no longer his wife. Big scene, brush off, leave him with a laugh. You know, a flash finish to a high-class act.
A high-class act.
Julie Reed... Plaintiff versus Maxie Reed, the defendant. At that, you got top billing.
What do you want, Max?
You gotta take me back, Julie.
That's right, small time. Crawl.
You gotta take me back. I'm no good alone. As an actor, anything else.
What about the big single you were gonna do? You don't need me. You always said so. Without me, you'd be big time. Or somebody.
I was wrong. Without you, I'm nobody.
You were always a nobody. You were born a nobody and you'll die a nobody.
You're a somebody, I suppose.
I was a somebody. Before you song and danced your way into my life. I had friends. Nice friends. I could have been happy if I'd married somebody else. I could have married Claire.
Yeah, I know. Your father was a doctor.
And what was yours? What did he do? Who was he? Didn't even know his name.
Cut it out.
That's the life I should have had. That's the life you were going to hand me. Champagne, caviar, sables from head to toe. You handed me champagne, all right, and a prop bottle in our act. You were going to put my name up in lights on Broadway a mile high.
Julie, I will.
You couldn't get us booked into the lobby of the Astor.
Honest, I've changed.
Don't make me laugh.
Julie, I've got to have you back. I'd do anything for you, Julie. I'd die for you. I'd kill for you.
You killed enough for me already. You killed everything I ever was or hoped to be. You killed every chance I ever had. Killed every soft and decent thing in my life. Now go ahead and die for me.
I'll make it up to you, Julie. I'll buy you everything.
Oh, you never bought me a flower or a box of candy in your life.
Honest, I'll get to be big time, Julie.
Big time? The only thing about you that was ever big time was that you looked like somebody else who was big time. Sure, in your top hat and tails, rented, of course, you looked exactly like Cappy Vane.
Maybe that's why I fell for you.
The poor man's Cappy Vane.
The poor man's poor man? You couldn't be the sixth carbon of a man with class like Cappy Vane.
Julie, if I brought you all the things
Not
that you...
Not if you brought me the world on a platter.
Oh, you take the world on a platter.
Not if you went with it.
If I changed. Julie, if I got class.
Not a chance.
No one means anything to me, Julie. Nobody. You're in my blood.
Keep away from me.
If I could even hope to hold you in my arms, to kiss you again.
It wouldn't mean a thing.
I don't believe that.
Let go of me.
I don't believe that.
Let go.
It doesn't mean a thing.
Doesn't mean a thing. You're out of my system like poison, washed away. You're dead. Maxie, you're dead.
I stumbled out the door and down the stairs somehow. My hands, my face, my body burned. I gasped for breath. My lungs seemed full of smoke. I struggled toward the air as if groping through a burning house. There was a beat, 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 beat inside my head like voodoo drums. I walked and walked, keeping time with the beat. Then I heard the automobile horn screeching like a million parrots. Screeching. Dead. 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 The stoplight blinked yellow and red and became a marquee on Broadway a mile high, blinking my name, Maxie Reed. Maxie Reed, the greatest little guy that ever hit the big time. And then I heard my entrance music, and I was on. Staked white gloves, top hat and tails, the dance, the dipsy society bit, laughs, all laughs. The big prop bottle of champagne, the bow to Julie, the kiss, the faint, the finish. She carries me off, the laugh, applause. Again the light. Yes, again the light. A mile high. But it wasn't blinking my name anymore. Now it said Cappy Vane. Cappy Vane. And I saw him in top hat and tails, pouring real champagne for hundreds of beautiful women. And they applauded too. And the applause was louder than mine. I'd never seen this man, this society playboy, except in the papers. In newsreels. Neither had Julie, yet I couldn't get his face and figure and voice out of my mind. So much like me and yet so different. He was class, champagne and caviar, sables and bright lights. To Julie, he was life, and I was death. And then faces began flashing past me so fast they blurred into each other like horses on a merry-go-round. Julie's face and mine and Cappy Vane's. Faster, 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 faster. And then suddenly everything stopped, and I saw only his face, sharp and clear. His face. Or was it mine? I couldn't tell anymore. But at last I knew what it was I had to do.
Who's Who in America, sir? Oh, well, you'll find it in the reference room to your left. Open shelves under W.
Last edition of the Wall Street Journal. Upstairs to your right under Business and Finance.
All back copies of the daily papers are in the basement vaults. Mr. Grousley, will you please show this gentleman down to the vault?
Yes, we make off-the-air recordings of many radio broadcasts. We record entire programs or portions thereof. You can play it on any one of these turntables or on a home phonograph. The record is cut on acetate, you see, and can be played with good clarity quite a number of times. What particular radio program did you have in mind?
Well, we're just terribly proud to have you as our special guest on the Let's Have a Party program, Cappy Vane. Now, what's your formula for a successful party, Captain?
Well, Ilza, it's perfectly simple, really. When the guests arrive, I merely throw open the front doors, throw open the kitchen, and throw open the bar. Then I sneak into the servants' quarter, cautiously arrange myself in the dumbwaiter, haul myself to the cellar, and run out the back door. It's perfectly simple, really. Simple, really. Simple, really. Simple, really. Simple. Perfectly simple, really. Perfectly simple, really. Now I gotta try it again. Gotta try it again. Perfectly simple, really. When the guests arrive, I merely throw open the front doors, throw open the... Perfectly simple, really. Perfectly simple, really. Perfectly simple, really. I've got it. I've got it.
Tell you once and for all, Vane. This wild spending spree has got to come to an end.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Oh, confound it, Vane. Be serious for once. You're not being fair to your sister Madeline, you know.
No, you're not, Cappy.
According to the terms of your father's will, Madeline is to come into a half share of the fortune on her 25th birthday. At the rate you're going, Vane, when Madeline's 25, you'll inherit a half share of nothing.
Ooh.
I'm warning you, Vane. You'd better behave. Or...
Or what? Briefly.
Just this. Your mad squandering, your harebrained antics these last years have made you a public joke, a family disgrace. The question of your sanity has become a popular subject of discussion. As family counselor, I could easily take matters out of your hands. I've refrained up to now because of the family. But if you force my hand, I'll have you legally set aside as an incompetent. And that, briefly, is that. Come, Madeline.
Good night, Cappy, darling. Sleep well.
Good night, sweet sister. Too bad John or Martha aren't here to show you to the door, but I've sent them on a vacation with double pay.
How nice of you.
How nice of you. It's your money.
You'd do well to remember what I said. I should like to have you placed in an institution. You don't turn practical, I assure you I will. And be justified in so doing. Good night, Vane. Thanks for being at home when we called.
Don't worry. If I'd seen you coming, I'd have sneaked down the dumbwaiter and been out the back of the river way before you could say... Who? Talking to myself. Maybe Hamilton's right. No, he isn't. I'm not fair. I'm very clever. Isn't the dumbwaiter a clever idea? And practical. Comes in handy, doesn't it? Yes. It does. What are you doing in my study? What do you want? Who are you? What do I look like? Who do you... That's strange. You look exactly like me.
I know.
Incredible. As if I were looking in a mirror. Is this some practical joke?
It is if you want it to be. You're famous for practical jokes.
It's incredible.
I agree with you.
It's incredible. Good imitation. Nobody knows you're here. Nobody saw you come in. Nobody. Yes, I can use you. Oh, what a joke I can play on Hamilton and Madeline. I can, I'm afraid, the joke's on you. What do you mean? I'm going to strangle you, Mr. Vane, with this tie.
I don't understand what you want of me, Mr. Vane. Why did you ask me to come here?
At the suggestion of an old friend of yours, your former husband.
Mac?
He seemed to feel it was my fault you couldn't be happy with him.
Oh, no.
Said you compared us all the time, that he couldn't live up to your expectations, that it made you very unhappy.
Poor Mac. I'm afraid he gets a little mixed up sometimes.
Perhaps you should use the past tense. He may not be alive.
What?
He said that as long as I was alive, he was dead. In your eyes, at least.
Oh.
But he looked like a man who expected to end his own life very soon.
Oh, no. No, not Max. You don't know him. He's a coward. Real small time. If you know what I mean.
He loved you. Very much. And if it was my fault that you never loved him, I...
Oh, I loved him.
You did.
Once. Oh, but his part of my heart is closed now, like the lid on a coffin.
He said the least I could do was to make it up to you in some way. I'd like to try. May I? It would be interesting to me.
You're very kind, and thank you very much. But it's no use. And if you should ever just happen to talk to him again, tell him that I still think he's small time. Will you please? Max?
Wait a minute. What did you mean by that?
Max, you're out of your mind. I know you anywhere when your eyes look like that. What are you doing here? Why are you dressed like that? Why do you call yourself Mr. Vane?
Come with me, Julie.
Where is Mr. Vane?
Mr. Vane? The well-born Mr. Vane? The Mr. Vane of the top hat and tails? The Mr. Vane of distinction, class, gentility, of champagne and caviar? The original of my carbon copy? The man you told me and told me and told me was so much better than me?
Where is Mr. Vane?
Oh, Mr. Vane! He must be around here somewhere, Julie. Oh, Mr. Vane! Perhaps he's here in this dumbwaiter. Look! Oh! Well, what do you think of me now?
A murderer.
Oh, don't look at me like that, Julia. You don't understand. I've moved up into the big time, real class.
You're mad. Mad.
No more prop champagne, Julie. No more props at all. Everything's real. I own the world and I give it to you.
That body in there. Dead.
He's dead. But not me. Not anymore. I'm born again. Julie, I own the world and I make you a present of it on a silver platter.
I don't want it.
But it's yours, Julie. Whatever I did for you. You know that, don't you? Because I wanted you back. I didn't think I could do it, but you gave me strength, Julie. I found myself.
I hate you.
And now it's yours for the rest of your life. I can fool everybody, Julie. I've studied his walk, his talk, his looks, his family history. Oh, stay with me. Julie, tell me that I've come alive.
No.
Here it is, don't you see? Everything you ever wanted, everything you ever dreamed, all you could have been or hoped to be.
Oh, I hate you.
You'll never know. No one will know.
Please.
Listen
please.
To me, Julie. As the river runs behind the house, swift running water. Water washes everything away. Help me.
No.
Help me, otherwise I'll have to stop your tongue.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me, why don't you?
I can't.
Coward!
I love you, Julie.
I'm going.
To the police? You might as well. I'd rather be dead than live without you.
No, ma'am. I'm not going to the police. I hope they don't find out. I hate you so much, I'd rather see you live. This new body, this new world of yours. Because I know what'll happen to you. I can see it in your eyes. That twisted brain of yours will snap. And I wanted to. It's what you deserve. Life in darkness, sails in life.
Anna, keep your world. I want no part of it. All yours.
Living. Forever.
Here we are, Inspector. Come right in.
But, Mr. Vane, you didn't have to come to my office and drag me out to your house to prove anything. I believe you.
No, you don't. You're humoring me as if I were mad. I've told you over and over again, I'm not Cappy Vane.
Hello, Vane. Hello, Inspector.
Hello, Hamilton.
What are you two doing here?
Excuse Madeline and me for barging in this way, Vane. Just got here a moment ago. Came as soon as we received your call, Inspector. You know Vane's sister, Madeline, of course.
Of course.
Oh, Cappy, I'm so sorry.
I'm not Cappy. You're not my sister. My name is Max. Your brother Cappy's dead.
What?
Of course he is. Of course he's dead.
He couldn't very well be alive if you killed him.
Oh, Cappy.
Oh, you fool, you fool. Here's your brother. Here in the dumbwaiter. Look.
Gone.
What's gone?
The body. His body was in there. It's gone.
You were right, Hamilton. He's gone completely mad.
You'll have to help me take him away.
Sit down a moment, Vane. Here, let me help you.
Julie did it. Julie took the body down. She hid it, threw it in the river. She hadn't far to go. She's strong, you know. She used to carry me off the stage.
Of course she did. Don't think about it now.
She took the body down. Because she hates me.
Look, Vane, I want you to come with us.
Let's go, Vane.
No one's going to hurt you. I promise you that.
No one's going to hurt you, Cappy.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to prove me mad. Vane mad. To put me away. Him away. So you can have the money. I heard you. You know, I was right here when you said it. Right here.
Of course you were.
Of course you were.
Oh, you fools. You stupid fools. Your brother talked like this. It's really very simple. It's really very simple. Can't you see how different it is?
Of course it's different. But you're not well, Cappy. You're sick.
Why won't you come with us?
Julie. Julie. What have you done to me? You said my brain would...
Come along now.
Wait. You hear that? My entrance music, you hear? I'm on. The dance. The champagne gag. The laughs. The bow to Julie. The kiss. The paint. The finish. The laugh. The applause. And the sign on Broadway is 2 miles high. The flash finish of the high-class act I've always dreamed about. The biggest act of all. The perfect murder. The perfect murder! I'm big time!
Murder Has No Tongue, starred Sherman Marks in the roles of Maxie Reed and Cappy Vane. Beverly Younger was featured as Julie Reed. Original music was composed by Frank Smith, and the orchestra was under the direction of Caesar Petrillo.